Hi, everybody. Sorry. Streaming too many places at the same time is confusing. Good morning. Good morning. It's Friday, the 1st of March. Did I miss a month? How is it March? Hope everyone's feeling fine on this Friday. In today's Five Fact Friday, this is Moving Home with Charlie. I'm Charlie Lambden. Welcome back to all my regular followers and subscribers, and a special welcome to all new followers and subscribers. And there are loads of you because I had a big video blow up on both TikTok and Instagram this week that's got me thousands of new followers as well. So welcome to all of you, and it's good to have you here. On Fridays, I pick the five pieces of news, okay, so things that didn't exist a week ago, new developments within the last 7 days, that I think have the most significant impact on the housing market going forward for people, in particular for people who are moving or thinking of moving. It's interesting. Now, today, the title of the video is Frustrated First-Time Buyers, because I genuinely think, when I think about all the movers, first-time buyers, buyers who are also buying and selling, or just sellers, the first-time buyers are the ones most severely affected and potentially disadvantaged by the complete lack of transparency of what's actually happening in the housing market. And if I could, the most common request I get from first-time buyers is, how do I know what is the right price to pay? How do I know that I'm not overpaying? How do I work out what I offer? And what I seem to feel from all the first-time buyers is that we're willing to make a sensible offer. We're willing to pay fair market price. But what is the fair market price? And the more you look and the harder you try and find the answer to that question, the more confusing it is. And that confusion is what helps and allows the sharks to trick people into taking the wrong products, to trick people into overpaying, to trick people into being ripped off. And it's what I am on a massive mission to try and help, is to bring transparency and to stop the sharks. Quick slurp. Hopefully you didn't hear that this time. It's too early in the morning to be able to hear me slurping. So let's get started. And these five facts are in no particular order. Where are we? Where's the first one? Come on. Right. So does everybody remember this week that the government announced, it was last week actually, we're thinking about doing 99% mortgages. Government-backed 99% mortgages, and everybody, even the banks and agents, went, that's just a terrible idea. And let me be clear, it's not about it being a terrible idea in principle, the 99% mortgage. That's a separate discussion. It's whether or not it's a terrible idea to have the taxpayer guaranteeing them. That is what everyone goes, that's a terrible idea, because that removes the downside risk from the buyer, which encourages more risky purchasing and therefore leads to more failures and that kind of stuff. So that's fact number one for today's Five Fact Friday, is that the government last night announced that they are scrapping the plans for government-backed or taxpayer-guaranteed 99% mortgages, which I think most of us agree is probably a good thing that's been done. Boss of Rightmove was on Radio 4 this morning and was unaware of this piece of news and raised it as though it was still a thing that was happening. It was a bit awkward. Fact number two. Right, now, before I actually bring fact number two up on screen, I cannot see how helpful it is for you guys or for me or for anyone trying to work out what's going on, how helpful it is to use any of the existing house price indices, because it is a clown show of confusion. There are two that came out this week, and we're not going to go into big details. I just want to show you this, right? We had Zoopla with their year-on-year house price report, and we had this morning Nationwide. and they both say different things. So just to really sum up my point about how confusing it is. So yesterday, Zoopla came out with their house price index for February, right? And I will give Zoopla credit here. Zoopla definitely tries the hardest to come up with what's actually happening. But I just don't think it works. When you look at these numbers, right, they are showing, year-on-year change to January 2024, right, of minus 1.2%. There we go. So Zoopla says house prices have fallen 1.2% year-on-year on average in the UK. Now, straight away, I've got questions about the maths here, because up above, forgive me. The 1.2% is detached houses. They're saying house prices across the board have fallen 0.5%. But if terraced houses, let me just get this the right size on the screen. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, so annoying. They're saying terraced houses fell 0.5%. Sorry, flats fell 0.5%. Terraced houses fell 0.5%. And semi-detached fell 0.6%. And detached fell 1.2%. But the overall average is 0.5%. How can it be that the overall average is the same as the lowest fall? I don't know. The math isn't great for me there. And then over here, they've got it broken down by flats, terraced houses, semi-detached and detached. And they've got December versus January. And it clearly shows there a very small fall of £100 in month on month. But up here says prices have not changed compared to the previous month. Okay. But they have 4.5% compared to a year ago. Okay. Now, you've got to know how the Zoopla one is calculated to understand this. But it's just a very, very, very flat line. And for me, it doesn't actually reflect what's really happening. And then we've got Nationwide. And Nationwide, again, counter to Zoopla, which has a very large sample size, if I understand it correctly. Sorry, let me just get the relevant part up here. Zoopla has a very large sample size, and it includes sold prices, it includes currently offered prices from software systems, and it includes mortgage approvals and therefore future prices. And it's this blend of lots and lots and lots and lots of data, which comes up with this very, very unresponsive blob of a house price index, right? And then at the other end of the scale, we've got Nationwide with a tiny sample size that's so small they won't actually tell us what it is. It's mortgages only. It's mortgage approvals and doesn't include fall-throughs or buyers that change their mind. And there's no transparency. There's no transparency in Zoopla data, zero. And there's zero transparency on the calculation of Nationwide's data. But Nationwide is saying that prices went up 1.2% year on year. So in the same 24-hour period, Zoopla have gone, prices went down 0.5% February to February. And Nationwide have gone, they went up 1.2%. I don't know which one's right or wrong. I'm saying that neither of them have any credibility as far as I'm concerned. This is extremely unhelpful when everyone can sense real turmoil. When in the last 12 months of the market, we've had 2023 where we've had an absolute collapse in the volume of transactions. And major regional changes with some places going up, some like Scotland and Northern Ireland going up, England and Wales going down, flats going down, houses going up, detached houses going down, semis going up. And what do all the indices say? Not much has changed, really. It's so unhelpful. It's so frustrating. That's fact number two. Fact number two, two house price indices saying conflicting things. That's the fact that I'm reporting, okay? And by the way, links to all of these are in the link below this video, which is the link to a page on my website. And by the way, if you look at the two links to the Zoopla and the Nationwide, you'll also find a link just underneath to this spreadsheet where I built this spreadsheet, and it's a live spreadsheet you can go and look at yourself, right? And look at the numbers and look at the formulas as a really, really simple description to explain how, even when most house prices are going down, a shift in the mix can make the average go up. So right there, you've got eight properties with a sale price from 1 year ago and then a sale price a year later, where seven out of the eight properties go down, one goes up. The average says house prices are going up and the median says they're going down. It's just a bit of proof, a small bit of proof that averages can be confusing. Okay. Next, so that's just number two. Fact number two, confusing house price indices, conflicting things with each other and are being very unhelpful and not telling anyone what's really happening out there at all. Utterly useless. Hence the Best Agent public house price index, which is progressing nicely. I'll update you on that soon. Next, we had the Bank of England reporting on mortgage approvals from January. Now, mortgage approvals is an important figure because mortgage approvals, there is transparency. It is actual verifiable government data. They do allow downloads of all the data. So the raw data is there to be queried, right? And this is money and credit, January 2024, from the Bank of England about lots of lending. But in particular, so they've said something here without being clear that it is seasonally adjusted, that net mortgage approvals for house purchases rose from 51,500 in December to 55,000 in January. They don't say there that that's seasonally adjusted and that that's very different from the non-seasonally adjusted. I'll come on to that in a minute because it's important, right? The other thing that didn't hit the news yesterday at all was that the annual growth rate for net mortgage lending was negative for the first time since records began in March 1994. It's the first time it's ever gone negative. So the total amount being lent is contracting. And this is a problem for banks who are in business to lend money. It's a problem. I'm not going to go into it now, but it's a new series low, right? Gross lending decreased from 17.2 billion to 16.9 billion. There is the graph of the long-term seasonally adjusted figures. And the light blue line is mortgage approvals for new purchases. The purple line is remortgaging and the orange line is other. And what you'll see there is the long-term average is around about 70,000. And before the global financial crisis, it was actually up. The average was around about 90,000. And I've got a graph here from Alex Graham, which I'll show you in a minute about this as well. But let's just have a look. I want to show you the difference. I've got both graphs here. I've got the seasonally adjusted for the last 3 years, right? Seasonally adjusted new mortgage approvals from the Bank of England. That's what the seasonally adjusted graph looks like. And it's saying 55,000. And this is what the non-seasonally adjusted graph looks like. And it's saying 43,000. The confusion for first-time buyers is that all the news that came out yesterday was surges, mortgage approvals surge, record mortgage approvals since last year when it was really, really bad. Look at what happened last year, right? There's the actual last year. So they're saying it's a surge and it's up since last year. Very confusing and very misleading. I won't spend too much time on this, but I will also just point out that I have also shared a link to this tab. I've shared a link to that very bit highlighted there, the number of approvals, non-seasonally adjusted. That first link will take you to the page where you can actually see the graph and you can change the graph inputs yourself, what years, what time range. So go and look for yourself because it's one of the only pieces of publicly available, verifiable, accurate data. Okay, have a look at it and decide yourself. Right, fact number four. The Competition and Markets Authority announced the results of a study into the new homes industry, and it will surprise nobody to learn that the study's conclusions were that Planning rules are crap and are leading to under-delivery of homes. Speculative private development doesn't help either. Land banking doesn't help, but it's a symptom, not the cause. And guess what? Private estate management fees are also found to be a growing trend, where the charges are often unsustainable and can be thousands of pounds and cause considerable stress to homeowners. Quality, and also the quality, is a problem. Unclear routes of redress. So telling us what we all already knew, thank you very much, Competition Market Authority. But the newsworthy part, and the fact that I'm sharing, is that as a result of that survey, the Competition and Market Authority found evidence during the study which indicated some builders may be sharing commercially sensitive information with their competitors, which could be influencing the build out of site and the price of new homes. So there you are, first-time buyers. Fuck you again from the new house builders, as well as the mortgage companies and as well as the media and everything else. We're just out to get you because you are poor, underinformed, easily confused suckers who are going to go out and overpay for a property with a mortgage that you also probably overpaid for. And you're not going to know what real house prices are doing, because why would we tell you that? Why would we want you to know what real house prices are doing? Because then you wouldn't overpay like a mug. This is why it's frustrating for first-time buyers, okay? So there is potentially a study, there's a study beginning looking for evidence of effectively price-fixing amongst the 8 largest new home builders. That was a big fact from the week. And the final fact is, now you might wonder why this is relevant to movers, the fact that Right Movers announced its half-year results and is still minting disgusting amounts of money out of its estate agency client members. So a lot of people don't know this, and it's worth knowing this as a mover because it affects the context of your move, whether you are a buyer or a seller. I see Rightmove as the biggest, fattest leech on the home moving industry's body. It's just sucking the life out of the moving industry. So last year, it made £258 million of profit. In a year when estate agents saw their revenues plummet by about 30%, they actually managed to extract 10% more money out of those agents. The number of actual branches that has lost, that is down 1%, so it's about a few hundred branches that went out of business and stopped being on Rightmove. And what everyone needs to understand is that most estate agents don't want to be on Rightmove, but think that they don't have a choice, because almost all sellers expect an agent to be on Rightmove. Now, this is a topic for another video that I've done before. There are agents who successfully sell homes without listing on Rightmove. There's Zoopla, there's OTM, there's Best Agent Now, there's social media, and many other forms. And the reason that those agents aren't on there is because Rightmove is frankly a massive ripoff for some agents. Not for the big corporates, because the big corporates get massive, massive discounts. So the value for money they get from Rightmove is very, very big. So Rightmove, which is one of the biggest contributing factors to overpricing guff, it is one of the biggest causes of overpricing itself. It is used by agents to justify overpricing, is actually sucking the lifeblood out of small independent agents. It affects the ability for them to deliver their service to you. It affects their fees, and it affects their marketing. So I just wanted you to know that Rightmove, during a year when the industry saw a massive contraction in revenues and income, cranked up its prices another 12 to 15% and extracted another 10% net out of its customers. And that is not helping agents, and it is not helping movers, because Rightmove doesn't put that value back. It doesn't do anything that actually helps. And if Rightmove was to disappear tomorrow, it wouldn't change anything, except it might stop overpricing from happening. So my message to you is, if you pick an agent who says, we're not on Rightmove, don't hold that against them. Say, well, as long as you can show me that you are still selling your customers properties and getting a decent price in a decent amount of time for them, that's fine with me if you're not on Rightmove. Let the agent be the judge of how the best way to sell your home is, if you think they're a good one, okay? Because using Rightmove is one of the things that allows crap agents to pretend that they're okay, because a lot of sellers think, well, as long as my house is on Rightmove, it'll get sold, right? Just stop and think about that for 1 minute. How many unsold properties are there on Rightmove that are sitting there for months and months and months? I am telling you that Rightmove hinders rather than helps the home moving process for both movers and agents. Is it convenient? Yeah. Is there some useful data out of the back of it that agents use? Yeah. Overall, is its existence a positive or a negative in the industry? I'm afraid it's a very big negative, and it's also one of the biggest barriers to innovation. Company that makes 250 million quid a year, what's it changed? How's it innovated? What has it done? How has it helped movers? How has it helped agents? Nothing. A big, fat, like the leech on the side of the body, a big, fat nothing is what Rightmove contributes to the moving industry in return for the quarter of £1 billion a year of profit that it sucks out of it. I don't make that comment about the other portals, right? Just Rightmove. It's not doing anything illegal. It's not doing anything wrong. It's not doing anything dishonest, disingenuous maybe, deceptive perhaps, but it sticks to the rules. It's the most profitable company on the UK stock market. It's even more profitable than Auto Trader by percentage, but it's a massive problem. And hopefully I'm going to help reduce the industry's reliance on Rightmove. Yeah, everyone should. I just it does provide a lot of convenience, and I'm that's what I'm working towards very, very hard, is to make sure the best agent actually offers a better experience than Rightmove. Now, Rightmove has got, I think, 600 software developers. I don't, but we have more property on Best Agent than there is in Rightmove, which most movers, once they know that, will go, okay, what's the point going to write with me more then? So that's not working. But our search filters aren't working properly. They're working, but not very well. And we've got to refine that. But I'm hoping to make a viable alternative to Rightmove for movers and agents that doesn't rip the industry off. Yeah, Urban Achiever says, Rightmove is a nice website and folks love browsing it, but it is just marketing guff. Correct. I agree. So guys, thank you very much. That's 5 Fact Friday. Hello, everybody. Hello, Toilet Roll Holder. I'd love to know the story behind that, the choice of that name. Patricia, hi. Luke and Stan Explore, hello. Luke and Stan Explore, hello. This is Lunchtime News. Says Nationwide reporting increased buyer confidence. And prices up by 1%. Still 3% down for peak in 2022, but they say it's in way up. Gaslighting is exactly what it is. So there was definitely an uptick in activity in January that spilled over a bit into February. I think, I remember saying back in January, I hurry up and get your mortgage now, because I think the rates are the lowest they're going to be for a while. They're probably going to tick up again, and they have. So, we do have an election coming this year. And when they announce the date, I think that you'll see a lot of people just sit on their hands at that point. What I do agree will be better than 2023 is transaction volumes. I mean, I really hope so. I agree with everyone that there is improvement in transaction volumes, which is important if you're a mover because it means it's easier to move. So first-time buyers, it's a nightmare for you guys out there. If you're moving, selling one and buying another, there is friction because of the lack of transaction volumes, but financially you're much less at risk. If you are selling but not buying because you need to sell, again, overpricing, if you fall for that trap, I'm afraid you can't blame anyone but yourself if you fall for the overpricing trap. As a seller, you can just ignore what everyone's saying. Just say, find a really good agent, come to the market, and you'll find out what the market is for your property. And there's no need to delay. You can, if you price your property correctly, you can still sell it quickly, right? Price it correctly, get competing bids, You'll sell it quickly for the best price in today's market. So as a seller, I would disregard the guff coming out of the corporate media and industry. If you are buying and selling, you're not at too much risk financially, but you are going to be at a lot of risk of deals falling through. If you're a first-time buyer, you guys are just lambs to the slaughter for this corporate messaging. And I urge you to open your eyes, look beyond the headlines, look at the actual hard data, look at things like there's a lot more. Like I think Rightmove said a record number of new instructions and a record number of valuation requests coming through. That is a sign of a lot more property coming in the market. Buyer interest has up. There is an uptick, absolutely, but it's not matching the increase in properties coming to market. So that is a negative suggestion on prices as well. Right, guys, have a good Friday. I'll be back soon. I want to go into a lot of this more recent data in a bit more depth. And if I can find him, I'll get Housing Stig to join me, and we'll do some in-depth digging and find out what's really happening. Because let me wrap up with this. I think that at the front line of house price falls, on average, with variations regionally, we are probably halfway along the price falls now, around about 15 to 20%, depending on regionally where you are, and depending on the property type and depending on the local exceptions, whatever. But roughly speaking, that's where I think we really are. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. See you on the next one. Bye-bye.